welcome to Scientology Chat, episode number 5, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome to episode number 5! How's everybody doing this Sunday? When we have a little bit more of a budget, we'll add sound effects to that to make it like the Monster Truck People voice announcer. But anyway, I am here with the actual host of the podcast, because I am just a side voice. Just somebody asking questions. Just a curious mind. I don't know what the ratio of our viewers are exposed to Scientology themselves, or know somebody that has been in the church and all that stuff, or is into Dianetics just into a separate thing to help their lives. But anyway, the actual host of the podcast.
Thank you. Full disclosure, we are doing this for the second time because...
I was going to mention that.
Yeah, the first attempt got completely deleted and I wasn't able to recover it, so...
Take number 2.
Yeah, we're going to talk about everything for the second time so that you can hear it for the first time.
And hopefully it's... similar to the first time.
Yeah. At least you'll know this is an unscripted podcast, because for the life of me, we're going to have to try our best to do it again as close as we did to the first time as possible.
Well, the 3 bullet points are GTA, Fallout, and what, The Master?
Yep, that's right. Okay. This is Scientology's representation in different forms of media. We'll just kind of jump right into it. I kind of had alluded to that we were going to talk about this before, because there is a notion that Scientologists may be not allowed to watch or play or listen to different things that either satirize or poke fun at or depict Scientology in a negative light in general. And these 3 things are perfect examples, because all of them were popular and all of them are used by different people in the church, whether it's playing the games or having seen the movie or whichever one, depending on which category it falls into. So our first one as we get started here is going to be Grand Theft Auto. GTA 5 is the biggest media product in the world. It's been played by hundreds of millions of people. And in the lead up for this podcast, I had watched a couple of videos where I just wanted to get a refresher, because it had been so long since I had played through that series of missions. And so I feel like it's even more important to talk about this one in particular, because every single one of the videos that I watched repeatedly said that it was a representation of Scientology or the GTA universe's version of it. And so that's the main reason I really wanted to talk about this first one in particular. The Epsilon program, if you don't know, in GTA's world, the current GTA is based around the fictionalized version of Los Angeles.
Well, I was going to say, what is the... shortened story of the Epsilon program?
It's pretty much just been, it's the parody of Scientology that's been in Grand Theft Auto since, I think all the way back to Vice City. Its first main appearance is in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Vice City is the best GTA, by the way.
Yeah, and,
good old 80s fucking cocaine-fueled.
Yeah, it plays era. A more prominent role in those 2 because they're centered around the fictional California. So that's just to kind of go over what with the Epsilon program. It does have the same location as the real life Los Angeles Celebrity Center. The building is identical, and you know, it's obvious why they chose to have that at least portray the Epsilon program. But as far as the beliefs go, because the game talks about its belief system in depth, whether it's the in-game websites or what the different members say through the as you interact with them and things like that. But the actual belief system of the Epsilon program is completely unlike Scientology. There is a particular religion that I would highly recommend looking up. It's called Raelism, R-A-E-L as in Israelism. And so all of the beliefs of the Epsilon program pretty much stem from that.
Wait, so is Israelism is a thing?
It's the name is Raelism, but it's as in Israel.
Right, okay.
And so,
by the way, if you look at the flag, oh boy, you're in for a surprise.
Yeah, that's, yeah, the best way I could say it is what I had said before, and I guarantee you that before you Google it, whatever you think their symbol might be, it's not gonna be what you expect.
It's very curious.
Yeah, it's definitely
fitting.
Well, we'll just be prepared. So that religion is more what's called UFOlogy. Their entire belief system is based off of extraterrestrials. Every aspect of it is, and so. I guess from the outside looking in, if you didn't know kind of what we've talked about here, I could see how people might think that everything in the Epsilon program is based on Scientology because it has to do with aliens, it has to do with UFOs, it's related to the Mount Chiliad mystery, which is also to do with aliens.
That, and if you get all of your information from video games... Shame on you.
Oh, yeah, and well, I can tell how deep the misunderstanding goes, mostly because, like I said, I probably watched 15 different videos just to kind of go over the missions and learn about some stuff that I may not have known from Easter eggs or different parts of the game world that I wasn't aware of. And that's just what really struck me, is that every single one of them said that it was the GTA version of Scientology. And like I said, while it may have the real Scientology building, none of the belief system is based on Scientology at all. None of it. The deity of the in-game version is Kiflom. It's like one of the... There are shirts and merchandise and all this different stuff from Rockstar and GTA that has to do with Kiflom and all these different things. That doesn't exist in Scientology. Like we've talked about in previous episodes, there is no creation myth and there is no God in Scientology.
I do like that part.
Yeah. And so I mostly wanted to talk about the Epsilon program just because the two things that it has that are actually meant to represent Scientology is its location and... the way that you have to pay money. That's obvious. They're obviously using that part to represent Scientology in the missions where you work with them. As you play as one of the main characters, Michael, in order to progress, you have to give increasingly large and to the point of a ridiculous amount of money to be able to progress with the church. And the game design for the church is meant so that everything you have to do for those missions is supposed to be as irritating and annoying as possible. Whether it's in one of them, you have to stand in front of a bathroom attendant and tip them $1 at a time until you give them $100. And then in another...
a bathroom attendant?
Yep. And then in another one, you have to be one this character and you have to just run through the desert for like 10 real life minutes of just running around the desert doing nothing else. So it's meant to be as irritating as possible to make you do inane tasks. So other than that, it has no version of auditing, no version of the bridge to total freedom. There's no other allegories or representations of different parts of Scientology in it at all. That pretty... Oh, and the other thing with it, and this relates to Fallout 2, Fallout 2 and Fallout 4, the game, as you go through the Epsilon program, is designed to make you think that it's all a lie and that it's all fake, and then the twist at the end is that the Epsilon program is actually right, and it's real. The first time your character dies in GTA Online... You are greeted in the afterlife by the founder and leader of the Epsilon program.
Which GTA?
GTA 5.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What?
When you die, he's the one that's there, and he tells you, it's like one of those things where it's like, surprise, we were actually right all along. He actually says in his little bit of dialogue, everyone told you I was a fraud and everybody told you I was a con man. And yet here you are standing at the gates of your own demise and I am the one greeting you. And he's the one that sends you back and the character teaches you how to use passive mode so you can play online without being killed.
Also, if anybody doesn't know, con man is short for confidence man.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess you certainly have to be very confident to scam people.
Yeah, and so that's kind of what it leads up to, and that's very similar to Fallout in that it's funny that both of them do the same thing, where in both games you have to pay increasingly large sums of money to do more and more with the in-game religion, and then it leads you to believe that they're all lying to you and... this, that, and the other, but both of them do the same thing at the end, and they surprise you with a twist that, in both cases, it's meant to show you that they were actually telling the truth the whole time. With the Epsilon program, that's where, like I said, he's the one that greets you when you die and sends you back to continue playing the game.
Well, in the first take, didn't we... We talked a lot about the aliens in Fallout, right?
Yeah, we did. That's cut, and so that pretty much leads us into that next game.
Okay.
With Fallout, I said this before, and I said it in the previous version. The Hubologists in Fallout go all the way back to the 90s, and they get some things so close to the real thing that it makes me think that one of the people involved in the development or writing of that part of the game, at least, was an actual member of the church. If not active at the time, they were at least a member of it at some part. Because the Hubologists in Fallout have their own version of a lot of different parts of Scientology. They follow a lot of it pretty closely. Like I said, there's still the aspect where you have to continue to pay more and more money as you progress. But with Hubology, there is their version of the Bridge to Total Freedom with the OT levels. In the game, it's called the AHS levels.
What is the Bridge to Freedom? Or Total Freedom?
That's the giant chart that we looked at. Where
the giant chart that's right in front of us.
Not that one, the other bigger one.
There's a bigger one?
Yeah, the one that you and I have looked at together. It's...
Holy shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So they have their version of that, and then they have their version of auditing, which is called Neurodyne treatments. You sit in a chair connected to a machine, and that machine is the Hubologist version of an e-meter. It rids you of your neurodynes, which is their version of body thetans. As you progress higher through the church, you learn more and more about it. There are certain things that are put behind that you can't learn about or be told about until you reach certain levels within the AHS system in the game. But an interesting bit about that is... when you receive the Neurodyne treatments, and only a keen eye would notice this more than likely, even at the beginning where it starts off by alluding to the fact that it's all a scam or that it's just trying to steal your money. When you receive a Neurodyne treatment in the game, there are different levels for charisma, intelligence, luck, etc. Every time you receive a Neurodyne treatment, your intelligence stat is boosted.
I will just say, after looking the bridge to total freedom chart, it does not seem like it is bigger than the materials guide chart, which we have hanging on the wall.
Yeah. One of the key differences between Hubology and Scientology is that, much like the Epsilon program in Grand Theft Auto, it's all way, way, way more heavily centered around space and aliens than real Scientology is. Obviously, that's the thing that most people to know about Scientology is the Wall of Fire, but that is such a minuscule part of Scientology. I mean, just by looking at the bridge or at the materials chart, you can see it's the part where it talks about the Wall of Fire is one single item in the bottom right corner out of, what, 50-plus different things on there? It's such a minuscule aspect. There, in the Epsilon program, there's the Kiflom deity we talked about. In the Hubologists, they're in both of their appearances in the game. In Fallout 2, you help them try to rebuild a space shuttle. And in Fallout 4, you help them try to rebuild a spaceship, which they don't realize is just the theme park ride, the spaceship. But in both cases, they're trying to fix these so that they can go back to the planet Quetzal, which is sort of their version of Scientology's Wall of Fire story. The difference being that for them, their goal is to try and get back there. That's the ultimate goal of their religion. Whereas in Scientology, that isn't part of it. So,
well, we were talking about ancient aliens and stuff.
Yeah, in the first version, we talked about how that show is terrible, except for the one meme they produced.
Yeah, ancient aliens is why I stopped watching the History Channel. Good God, that shit was dumb.
Yeah, truly, it's terrible.
And, which reminds me again what we talked about in the first take of this. It was Sabby Sabs.
Mm-hmm.
When she was saying, like, in the pyramids, how could you create these hieroglyphics and all that when there's no light? And you don't think there's torches or fire or candles or anything?
Yeah. And I'll say this again, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that I'm not.
Send us emails, people.
I'm quite sure that when they were building the pyramids, they would finish the interior before building the next level up.
You would have to with that sort of like structural design.
Yeah, so that's why that doesn't make any sense to me on either level, because obviously there was torches, and also that it's not like a modern building where you build the building and then fit it out on the inside. So yeah.
And if you haven't seen The Mummy, watch that movie. Because it's amazing, at least the first two.
Yeah,
the third one's a little iffy.
The first one is definitely, that is a good movie.
Well, the third one is like when he was talking about like how he had to like build like his own like body armor just to keep him from like collapsing from sheer pain and all that shit.
Yeah, God.
He's also a very good character in Scrubs. God, what's his name?
Brendan Fraser.
Yes! Yes, that's the one. If you haven't watched Scrubs, watch Scrubs. Scrubs is the best show ever.
I definitely agree with that. So the backstory of the Hubologists, where you can it's obvious that they're basing it on Scientology to begin with, but the creator of Hubology, and now we're leading up to the same thing with the twist, that in Hubology, all of their writings and everything that they believe comes from a person in the game called Dick Hubble. He's the game's version of L. Ron Hubbard. You can definitely tell from his name, but the game tells you that he was a science fiction writer in the 1950s from before the Great War in the game's timeline, and that he created everything. Later, as you progress in the AHS ranks, you find out that he was visited by the aliens, and all of Hubology, the Neurodynes, the Neurodyne treatments, all of that was taught to him by these aliens so that he would be able to use it for people on Earth, with the ultimate goal being of helping those people reach the Hubologist version of the state of clear, and eventually they would leave the planet Earth and go to this planet Quetzal. So that's where we get back to that same thing where it diverges from Scientology, where up to a certain point it's very similar to real Scientology, but then you get to that same kind of deal where, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again, the Wall of Fire story in Scientology is not about our deity, and it's not about a creation myth. Neither of those things, that's not what it is.
Well, that and the first take of this, we were talking about Fallout 2 and Fallout 4, about the people like having rockets or spaceships and shit and going to...
Oh, right. Oh, gosh. I'm going to sneeze.
Oh, boy. Oh, pineapple!
Maybe not. I think I'm okay.
See, I knew that would work. Just shout pineapple or any kind of fruit at somebody who's about to sneeze.
And yeah, that's right. There's a group of people in Fallout New Vegas where they also have a very similar thing to the Hubologists, where they're trying to fly away.
Don't act like you brought that up in the first place. Wait, well, hold on. Is that technically the same thing as what happened in 2 and 4?
I don't think there's an actual... It never mentions...
It's like them going to the far, far beyond, but I'm not sure it's a religious thing.
Yeah, I can't remember for sure, but I know that they don't talk about it in the YouTube videos about Hubology, at least.
Well, I've never even heard that until you brought it up. And me being such a Fallout fan, that is something new to me.
And then with Fallout, you reach the point where it's the twist. And the twist is that you do all of this work for the Hubologists, and the whole time you're led to believe that it's a scam and it's a lie, even from the interactions from people in the church. But you reach the point where you are given the great reward in both of their main games. And it's in both instances, it's a real alien artifact. So in Fallout 4, you get all the way to the end, and the leader of the Hubologists gives you a genuine, one of only two in the entire game, alien weapons. So it's a legitimate alien gun in the game. It actually uses the alien blaster rounds. It's like the big twist that she has this, and it was passed down from her father. She's supposedly the daughter or descendant of Dick Hubble.
Well, that in Fallout 3, you, through the DLC, the Mothership Zeta,
you can get
the alien blaster. And then in New Vegas, if you do the, the Wild Wacky Wasteland or some shit like that, in the northwest part of the map, there's a crashed alien spaceship, a UFO, and then three aliens that you can also get the alien blaster.
That's right.
But in Fallout 3, you can also get this... It's not the alien blaster, it's something else, but it is a lot more powerful, and it has unlimited ammo that is... so fucking good.
Okay. And then,
He hasn't played Fallout 3.
In the Mothership Zeta DLC, I know that they mention it in the YouTube video, but like you said, I've never played that one. Somewhere on the Mothership, there's some kind of, either, if it's a computer entry or something, somewhere on the Mothership, they talk about Dick Hubble and the Hubologists.
Well, in that also you can Or no, maybe I'm thinking of New Vegas, but I want to say in Mothership Zeta, you can choose where a nuke goes off. Mm. But I might be confusing that.
I definitely remember they shoot some kind of thing and it blows up part of Canada.
Well, it's a like satellite nuke.
Yeah, I can't remember. I've only seen that in a YouTube video.
Beware of the Russians. I'm kidding. It's propaganda.
And so that kind of wraps up the most of the Hubologists. There are a lot of things where they get it pretty close to the real thing, but in both cases, it all starts to take that turn away from the real Scientology when it starts to go and put more emphasis on the alien aspect of everything. But I do like that in both cases, they have the same twist ending that turns out that the Hubologists were actually right and weren't lying. And then that kind of takes us into our third one here, which is the movie The Master. And I wanted to talk about The Master specifically. We had kind of mentioned it a little bit before, but The Master was, number one, it was financially successful, which, unlike a lot of the other shows that have mentioned or parodied Scientology in some way, were not. The other one is that the creator of that movie had previously worked with Tom Cruise, and in the lead-up to that movie coming out, he did a private screening for Tom Cruise just so he could kind of, I guess, gauge the reaction.
Not to bring it back to Aliens, but if anybody has not, I guess, well, I mean, it says a book by, okay, C.M. Kozman? Kozman? All Tomorrows.
Mm-hmm.
Beware of the Q, people. Be aware of the Q.
Yeah. That is definitely a very interesting book.
Sorry, I had to go look that up.
With The Master, the first thing is, like I said, in the lead up with Tom Cruise and everything, the creator of the movie specifically said that it was not the L. Ron Hubbard story and not based on Scientology. And I just have to say, and the main reason we're talking about it is that that is a complete load of bullshit. That movie accurately depicts a lot of different things about Scientology. It depicts auditing almost the way that it's done in real life. When Joaquin Phoenix's character is brought aboard the ship and he does his first bit of processing with the L. Ron Hubbard character, they put him into a room and he turns on a tape recorder, and the exercise is that you can't blink and you have to try and answer questions as quickly as possible without thinking. It's supposed to be a snap response. And so that's real in the Church of Scientology. That's a TR called TR processing. And what L. Ron Hubbard's character, or the character, is doing is called TR0, which we'll talk about in another episode where I talk more about that specifically.
Well, also, I do want to add that my favorite part of that movie is, I don't know, was walking his character, Joaquin Phoenix, he just fell asleep and they went through a shit.
Right.
Okay, yeah, and the captain of the ship, who's the depiction, I guess, of L. Ron Hubbard, found his alcohol or whatever it was concocted with.
Right.
And was like, you can stay only if you make me more of that.
Yeah. Because
he drank all of it and he loved it.
Yeah.
Which also brings me again to The Lighthouse. If anybody has not seen that movie, the black and white with Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattypats?
Yeah.
Patterson?
Pattinson.
Pattinson. My mistake. They drink a lot of lamp oil, I guess, when they run out of alcohol stranded on this lighthouse island. Do not watch that movie with your kids if you have some.
Yes, that can't be emphasized enough. Because there's a particular scene where it's particularly graphic and children will walk in at that exact moment.
Which, yeah, did happen to us. My nephew walked in at the exact wrong time and my mother was trying to distract him.
Yes.
My mother is obsessed with lighthouses, by the way.
Yeah, because, I mean, to paraphrase, that movie has depictions of mermaids, and there's a particular scene where you see a full-on fish wish, if you catch my drift.
Well, it's... Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, it's the... what was the premise of that movie? It's one of the Greek gods that took the fire from the gods and gave it to man.
I can't... All I remember is where Willem Dafoe... like calls upon Poseidon to punish Robert Pattinson's character does that super long like condemnation of him and calls upon Poseidon and his wrath,
and then he's like, okay, I like your lobster.
Yeah. And then so back with the master, there's those TR exercises and
Dionysus?
The Greek god of booze,
right? Okay, never mind.
Then the next one, and I had talked about this quite a bit in our first one, because I have done this with people and had it done to me. It's a form of assist, and it's also a training, another form of TR.
Assist?
As in assisting someone.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying assist.
Yeah.
And that does not bring good pictures into my brain.
With that... there's a scene where the L. Ron Hubbard character has Joaquin Phoenix's character walk back and forth between in this room while everybody's watching him, and he has to go touch a window and then walk back and touch this wall, and he has to keep doing it back and forth and back and forth. And that is also based off of something real in Scientology. Like I said, it can be used as a TR exercise, or it's also used as an assist when somebody is in an emotional state of distress. The TR version, if you ever go to an org and you do a course and you're there long enough, in my case, it was the very first day I was there, you'll notice there are people being walked around by an auditor, and the auditor will say, touch that doorknob. Thank you. Touch that wall. Thank you. Touch that picture. Thank you. And so on and on that goes.
Do they say thank you after everything?
So the thank you is called an ACK. It's an acknowledgement of the pre-clear statement. Yeah. And so the assist version of that for when you're in an emotional state, that is where an auditor will walk you around, but instead of touch everything, it will be... look at that stop sign, look at that car, look at that tree. And every time somebody says, when they tell you to look at something, like when I got this assist, when I was having a particularly bad day and got some bad news, my auditor would walk around and say, look at that tree. And you don't have to say anything specific, but you affirm that you see what they're telling you to see. So he would say, look at that tree, and I'd say, okay, and he would say, thank you. And then he would say, now look at that stop sign, and I'd say, okay, and then he would say, thank you. And so the process is to get you back grounded again. After you're in an emotional state and something bad has happened to you and you're all worked up, this assist exercise brings you back and keeps it and gets you back into the present, basically. It brings you back so that you... aren't so emotional anymore.
Well, not to bring this back to the lighthouse, but it's based on the Greek myth of Prometheus and Proteus.
Okay.
Prometheus is the one that took fire from the gods and gave it to humankind.
Right. Okay.
And then was laid
to be pecked at by birds, and then the next day he would be a new man and regenerated and all that, and then every single day that would happen over and over, where he was just, his guts and everything were pecked out by birds.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Yeah, I guess.
And then, so another thing where the master is a reference to Scientology is, throughout the book, the movie, the L. Ron Hubbard character has just released "quote unquote" Book One, which that is what Scientologists would call Dianetics. It's Book One, and so that's another obvious reference to Scientology. And then later, towards the end of the movie, it's building and building towards the release of Book Two. That doesn't actually, nothing in Scientology is called Book Two, but he finally releases Book Two in Phoenix, Arizona, which, another allegory to L. Ron Hubbard, that's where he lived and did most of his lectures.
In Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep. His house is still there. They run tours of it and all that.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and
we need to go to one of those.
Yeah, and so at the big reveal, his Book Two comes out, and it's called The Split Saber. And just that name always makes me think that even that is a reference to the second Dianetics book called Science of Survival. And so,
which isn't that, like, I mean, science to survival, isn't that kind of another way to say sex?
Well, in a way, because I know in the first time we were talking about how that could be evolution, but evolution is how we survive, whereas science of survival is why we survive.
Well, I mean, why we survive is because you look at somebody and it's like, that's somebody I would like to, you know, pass my traits on with. But well, really, it's just because you have some weird attraction to them. It's not necessarily that you would like to pass your genes on with them.
And yeah, and so that's the second dynamic. That was what we had kind of talked about, was that is one of the drives of survival that it talks about in Scientology and Dianetics.
If only it didn't feel so good.
Right. And then towards the end of the movie, there is an auditor where she is confronting the L. Ron Hubbard character, because in the movie, between Book One and Book Two, he has made a change where in the movie's version of auditing, they say, "Can you recall?" Whereas in real Dianetics, you say, "Recall a time when," et cetera, et cetera. And so the auditor that is speaking to him, Laura Dern's character,
comes over.
And she says to the L. Ron Hubbard character, "I noticed that you made a change. Instead of saying, 'Can you recall?' it says, 'Can you imagine?'" And so,
wait, so, I'm sorry to interrupt, but Laura Dern was in the Master? The Jurassic Park girl?
Yep.
What? Okay. That's, I want to say we talked about that, but I don't remember.
Well, and so I did want to say, I don't know if the creator of the movie was trying to use that to make a point, or at least attempt to make one, that the different books, as you go through the evolution of Dianetics from Book One onward, to suggest that he made some kind of dramatic change like that. But that never happened, especially not can you imagine, because in Dianetics auditing, that's why you would never ever ask somebody to can you imagine something, for the same reason that you can't feed them information during the auditing sessions, which I have talked about previously. It is explicitly against the rule to give somebody a suggestion because you might fuck up their memory.
Not to interrupt, but Laura Dern is the one in the first Jurassic Park movie that's digging her whole arm, like elbow deep, into Triceratops poop. Just a fun fact there.
Yeah, a great mental picture.
Well, you can watch it on DVD.
Yeah.
Wait, are they remaking those?
I don't think so. I don't think they're going to try and remake the original one.
Well, I thought they were going to do it to, like, make the raptors, like, have feathers and shit. Because they found that out, I don't know how many years ago.
I don't know. That sounds like a horrible idea, but that certainly doesn't stop anybody in Hollywood.
Well, that's like the South Park episode, not to bring it back to South Park, but when they replaced, like, the Indiana Jones, like, guns and stuff with, like, walkie-talkies.
Yeah. That's the part that I definitely wanted to make clear about The Master, because it gets a lot of things right, and it's clearly pointing at Scientology through the whole, I mean, at least Dianetics in particular, and L. Ron Hubbard, but that never happened. There was never a dramatic change like that. And because it kind of leads up to that kind of a shocking point where in the movie, the L. Ron Hubbard's son's character says that he just makes it up as he goes along. So I think that the movie's creator was trying to use that as a point to say he was making it up all along. That's why he would make such a dramatic change. That did not ever happen.
Well, that, and when you say The Master, I get confused with the movie and the super mutant, yeah, like, boss from Fallout 1.
Right.
That is, like, giving orders to the other super mutants to, like, bring the most pure humans,
yeah,
back to, what is it? It's Mariposa?
Oh, right.
I want to say it's Mariposa to basically dump them in a vat of the FEV virus to turn them into super mutants. That's what I think of.
Yeah, that's between that and the Master from Doctor Who, those are the things that are the most commonly confused with movie.
I think I've only seen the first episode of, like, the original, like, English nasty version of, right, Doctor Who, where one of the characters does have my name. I'm not gonna go farther than that.
Yes. And then just to kind of wrap everything up, one of the reasons that I wanted to talk about this, even though I have alluded to it before, now that we've talked about all these different things that that depict Scientology, all three of these, I know for a fact from communicating with people in the org that they've all that people have seen that movie, people have played those games. Like I had said before, I have played Grand Theft Auto Online with my case supervisor. So Scientology doesn't restrict you or ban you from being able to listen to, play, watch things that criticize or satirize the Church of Scientology.
You know, if you like satirical comedy, if you have not seen The Death of Stalin with Steve Buscemi, go watch that. That is a amazing movie.
Yes, it definitely is. And that kind of brings us to the end of this episode. For the second time, although you'll never get to hear the first time.
Take two.
I think we pretty much covered all of the same things.
Probably not.
So, if you have any questions or comments, you can write in to ScientologyChat, all one word, at gmail.com. And then, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Well, I was going to say, questions, comments, or concerns.
Yeah.
Which is what I used to say when I was a supervisor at an unnamed company. But, you know, world peace, read stuff, do your own research. And as the Science Channel used to say,
question everything. Right. Perfect. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for listening. The last thing before we go is, in just 4 episodes, we have almost crossed the 200 downloads mark. And so I wanted to say thank you to all of you who have listened and continue to listen as our number of plays has stayed consistent through all of our episodes.
Thank you, all of you. Send us emails.
Yes.
God damn it.
So thank you so much, everybody. Have a good rest of your night. We will be back on Thursday.
Should be. Hopefully.